So Isaiah chapter 9, beginning at verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. And the second reading is from Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. That's page 1027. And this comes just after the birth of Jesus has happened in Bethlehem. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
Thank you. Well, we're going to spend a few minutes together thinking about the words that Peter read to us from the Bible. It's great you're here. Some of us come regularly, some of us are visiting. Some of us would say we're Christians and followers of Jesus, and others, I imagine, wouldn't. It's great you're here. I want to think about some wonderful stuff that God has for each of us. Okay, we're going to start by asking a question. This is particularly if you're a bit younger, but why don't you just talk to the person next to you? There's something wrong with this Christmas tree. I want you to turn to the person next to you. What's wrong and how would you fix it? What is wrong with this Christmas tree and how would you fix it? All right. Now, if you bought a Christmas tree like this, you'd probably take it back to the shop. Someone quite young, could they shout out, "What's wrong with the tree?" Shout out, it's fine. Some of it's upside down, that's right, the middle bit. How do we fix it? Turn it round, okay. 3, 2, 1. Oh! That took me 25 minutes in PowerPoint and it was entirely worth it. The Christmas tree's fixed, that's good, isn't it? Okay, that's quite an easy problem. All right, now let's, could I have my volunteers or semi-volunteers? I think I've got 5 people coming up the front, please. 5 people, Grace asked you, that's right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, up here. Let's come into this space here. Okay, we're gonna set these guys a bit of a problem. So you're gonna get in a circle, and what you're gonna do is you're gonna reach a hand into the middle and grab someone's hand who's not next to you, and then do the other hand with someone else. Okay, so now these guys are crossed hands randomly in the circle. Now the challenge is, can you untangle yourselves without letting go of the 2 hands to end up forming a circle? Okay, so let's see if they can figure that out. Oh, this is, oh no. Any injuries? Should have got you to sign a disclaimer, shouldn't we? I think this is technically always possible, if you want to try it later. They haven't practiced this beforehand, if that helps you to know. Oh dear. Oh. Okay, we're getting there. Oh, that's a good maneuver. How are we getting on? Hey! Well done, everyone. Thanks so much. You can go back. Sit down. Well, that was tricky, wasn't it? That was tricky. And it's fun. You want to try it, right? Well, you just need a few more people. We have got the use of this room for the whole day if you wanted to stay behind. Circle of hands. Bit of a trickier problem, wasn't it? Okay, here's a trickier problem. This, I don't know how to pronounce it, the Riemann hypothesis. Now, if you know the answer to this, you can get $1 million. That is the reward set for anyone who answers this question. Now, I know that no one here knows the answer. I mean, I'm pretty sure, right? I don't even understand the question. What does that mean? Somebody knows what it means. But no one knows what the answer is yet. It's a seemingly impossible puzzle. We had the Christmas tree, pretty easy. Circle of hands, bit harder. Riemann hypothesis, $1 million if you can get it. That'd be a good Christmas present, wouldn't it? What about this? Israel-Gaza, that's just a headline from a newspaper yesterday. Israel-Gaza, is that a problem that anyone can fix? Is it a problem anyone can fix? We'd wish so. But it's not going well, is it? The best people in the world are working on this problem. It doesn't seem to be going away. When you have an impossible problem with people fighting each other because of what happened before that and before that and before that, what you need is someone who knows the answer, someone greater than you. We need someone who can fix the hardest problems that we cannot solve. Well, the great news of Christmas is that God is at work in the world. God is at work in the world. We had it in Isaiah chapter 9, just at the end. I'll read just the end of the reading that Peter gave us. Isaiah says this, "The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." He's been talking about peace and joy, and he says, "The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Zeal, that word means determination, willpower. Maybe you ever try to push yourself to do something, that's by zeal. And God, his zeal, is going to do it. His desire, his determination. God is at work in the world. That is the joyful news about Christmas, is that God did not leave us in our unsolvable problems. He came to be at work in the world. That's quite drab, isn't it? Let's make it a little bit more Christmassy and also unreadable. God is at work in the world. But what did that look like? What does it look like when God is at work in the world? Do we look for lightning? Well, Isaiah tells us there is a baby who is born. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. We're thinking about Christmas. Isaiah's talking about the first Christmas in advance of it happening. And we've heard of the baby who was born. And he was born in a manger. We've sung, he would see him lying in a bed of straw. He's a baby. And he's the king. Those two things don't easily go together. A baby in the straw who is king. A baby who is king. That is the news of Christmas. God is at work in the world through the baby who is king. I just want to point you to what Luke says. Here's the reading we had from Luke. "And the angel announces to the shepherds," you might know the carol, "while shepherds watch their flocks by night or seated on the ground, an angel of the Lord came down and glory shone around." And the angel announces something. I'm just going to underline three little bits. He says, "Today, born to you, the Lord." That's what the angel says to the shepherds. Today, now, a baby born to you who is the Lord. Not just an earthly king, but the king from heaven. The baby who is king. That is the news of Christmas. God is at work in the world through a baby who is king. It's incredible news. It's wonderful news. For every problem that you cannot fix, for everything that does not have a solution, God is at work in the world. Well, we're going to think a little bit more about that in a few moments. But actually, we're just going to take a moment to sing with the angels. So Simon and Claire are going to come up. We're going to sing words up on the screen. This is what the angels sang. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. So we're going to sing this with them. So please, if you're able, please stand. Please stand. And the way this works is today. Yeah. Thank you very much, Simon and Claire. All right, we've seen God is at work in the world. Just a few more minutes as we think about what that means for us. God is at work in the world through a baby who is king. A baby who is king. Now, when you have a king, it's quite important to know what kind of king they are, isn't it? Are they a good king or a bad king? I'd like you to turn to the person next to you and say, if you were king or queen for a day, what one rule would you enact that hasn't been enacted before? One rule, something you could get rid of something that's a bit annoying, you could get something that you would like. Turn to the person next to you. If you were king or queen for a day, what would you rule? Twenty more seconds. What would your rule be? All right, it'd be nice to get a little flavor of that, wouldn't it? Okay, so obviously everyone said world peace and all those important things. But were there any fun ones that people said? You can say for yourself, or we can say for the person next to you. Yes, what did someone say? 5-day weekend. Oh, that's quite popular, isn't it? Turn us into an economic powerhouse. Yep. Children would tidy their bedrooms at all times. Yes, at the back. Oh, sorry, I have to shout. No wars. Very good rule. Very good rule. Yes? Stop the wars as well. Wow, we're really using our power for good. Yes? Water park. Yes. Whoa, that's cool. Make your own fireball day. One more thing. No school. Is that popular? Maybe. It'd be quite nice to be king or queen, wouldn't it? Think of all the things you could choose. Think of all the things you could choose. All right, so what kind of king is Jesus? What kind of king is Jesus? Well, Isaiah tells us that Jesus will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with, he says, two words, justice and righteousness. Justice and righteousness. Now, let's face it, we'd all like some water parks. And Jesus brings up many good things. But when it comes down to it, we want justice and righteousness. We know we want that. Even when we're young, what is the first moral complaint that most of us ever learn to make? It's not fair. Deeply moral, right? A sense of this is right and that's wrong and the wrong thing has happened. It is not fair. Now, sometimes it's about your toy that probably you could have let it go. But it's not fair. Matters, doesn't it? Isn't that the worst thing in life? When you see something and think, it is not fair. It is not right. It's not good. In our country, in the world, in your school, in your workplace, it's not fair. Eats us up. And so it should. We want justice. We want righteousness. And therefore we want a ruler who will rule with justice and righteousness, who will be right and good. Maybe if we've seen a few rulers come and go, governments, etc., we've become cynical because No one seems to be able to deliver on the very best aspirations of righteousness, of flourishing together, of justice. The type of king that Jesus is, the baby who is a king of justice and righteousness. No more, it's not fairs. It will always be with Jesus, it is fair. It is good. This is wonderful. That's the sort of king that Jesus came to be. Okay, justice and righteousness, or the lack of it out there in the world. Let's now think a little bit closer to home. Turn to the person next to you again and tell them, if you might, one annoying habit that you have. Turn to the person next to you. What's one annoying habit? You know, a little bit annoying, a little bit irritating that you have. If you can't think of one, maybe you could ask them. All right. Let's come back together. I'm not going to ask for annoying habits because we might throw each other under the bus. Everyone has an annoying habit, right? Yeah, I don't, but everybody else does. Now I have hundreds of annoying habits. We all have things about us that wind people up that aren't necessarily the best thing. And we can make that a more serious question if we wanted to. We could say, all right, not what's annoying, but what is actually bad about our lives? What serious thing that's wrong with us in the way we treat others, or treat ourselves even, can we not fix? What thing can we not change? Maybe, if we just imagine into the day ahead, might some of us get more angry than we should? Could you envisage that happening on Christmas Day? Maybe. Unkindness, bitterness. You see, Jesus came, the baby who was king, came to bring justice and righteousness to our hearts as well, because we need it too. The reason that it's out in the world is because it's in each of us. The it's not fair lives in all of us. And Christmas is God at work in the world, including in you and in me. Jesus came to be at work in each of us. Now, there's much, much more to tell. I'm not going to do very much of that this morning. If you're new to Christian things, please do speak to me or speak to the person who brought you this morning if you'd like to know more. But it is really important to know that Jesus, the baby who was king, did not stay a baby. He always stayed the king, but he didn't stay a baby. He would grow up to die on a cross and rise again. You can read about it in the Bible, in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. The baby who was king grew up to be a man who would die on a cross and rise again. He would die on a cross to take the punishment for the wrong things in the world, including in you and me. The it's not fair, Jesus died for that. And he rose again to give us life and offer us eternal peace, which Isaiah talks about. Jesus the king, the man who died and rose again. So what do we do as I wrap up this talk? Two R's, receive and rejoice. All right, I want to imagine later that someone gives you a present. It's massive, it's wrapped. I would have brought one from home if I thought about it. Would you say no? That'd be a bit weird, wouldn't it? Massive present with your name on it? No. Bit odd? I don't imagine that would happen. Well, this morning, if you don't know Jesus, God is offering you an enormous present. Jesus, the baby who was king, who grew up to die and rise again for you. It's an enormous gift with your name on it. And God says, it's yours to receive. Do you want it? Jesus is a gift given to us. A baby who is king, God at work in the world and in us, if we would receive him. And if we have received, if you do receive or already have received, you can rejoice. You have the greatest present. I don't know if some of us have still got some presents left to open. We've maybe got some high hopes for what presents are in the box, in the wrapping. None of them are going to beat Jesus. None of them will make you more joyful than him. Knowing Jesus is wonderful because that is God at work in the world and in you. And that's why the angel said, this is good news of great joy for all the people. Well, we're going to sing one last time as the musicians come up. We're going to sing one last time. A well-known traditional carol, O Come All.